I want to just reiterate what we're talking about here today. I want to get into the actual nuts and bolts of how to move these strongholds. For the first thing you need to see is see. A lot of times when people are dealing with situations, they're dealing with the fruits. You can see this as a tree. You can see it as a diagram. You can see it as a map. You can see it as a house. But normally what happens, especially in childhood dysfunction, childhood trauma, which a lot of people are exposed to, there's going to be over 90%. When these things happen as a child's soul is, it wasn't designed for trauma. So there are certain things a soul can do when it undergoes a lot of trauma or fear. It will begin to compartmentalize. It can actually disassociate itself and break in pieces if it's too much. And that's where you get broken disassociative disorders, where there's totally a whole nother personality. Oftentimes when trauma happens, and I shared some of my childhood trauma last week, oftentimes when these kinds of things happen to us, we begin to develop protective mechanisms. And protectors come in, and a lot of times a spirit will actually attach itself to this. Certain traumas, spirits will come in, and they will build certain personalities over time, protective personalities. Sometimes it'll be a personality that's very outgoing. Put there in the notes there, you can see extrovert. Sometimes it's introvert. Sometimes these personalities can come, the entity that's protecting is a controlling. Not everyone manifesting control. Kim, unbeknownst to her last week, was sharing a childhood trauma. She didn't even know I was going to speak on this, but something happened to her, and it's on the teaching that she began to hide or separate or isolate. That's also a protective personality. You hide from pain. If you have a person that's highly isolated, a person that's, like I put in the notes here, hiding, avoidance, highly independent, that is a way they deal with pain or they deal with trauma. Other people have very controlling, like me. I didn't start with a controlling personality, but it started coming in the latter days. I was more of a hider in the beginning. Different personalities of different people. Not everyone's going to have all of these, and it's by far not all inclusive, but it's a beginning. When you have a type of controlling personality, a lot of times people feel that with control, that control's the strong man, because it manifests with intimidation. It manifests oftentimes with anger. But honestly, if you understand how the kingdom of darkness works, control's not the big boy. It feels like the big boy. How many of you have ever been subject to control or a controlling spirit, not a controlling person? It's very intimidating because there's a spirit there, but control is under the authority of fear. Fear is always the strong man. Fear is the original darkness that came in at the fall. The first thing Adam and Eve did is they hid, and then they covered. And ever since then, we've been covering. Ever since then, we've been developing all kinds of coverings, personalities, facades that we walk in society with, but underneath, it's all fear. But you can't see it all the time. Even a controlling personality will very rarely see that they're a controlling personality. They get into narcissism. I had my bout with that before God disintegrated that thing with a bomb, blew it up. Praise God. But before all that happens, you can't see that what underlying is fear. What you often see is the fruit. So if you deal with fruits all your life, or you can also have avoidance type personality, or this third one that I put here, it's the one that justifies, blames, denies, deflects. You ever talk to somebody and all they do is deflect? And they will never take accountability for anything. It's a deflection mechanism within them, often a strong man, a personality that's protecting. And if you get close, all they're going to do is deny, deflect, or return blame. That is a protective personality. That's not the strong man. So when you're dealing with people and these personality disorders or these protective mechanisms, oftentimes people can get close enough to the Lord, they'll see the fruit of certain things. And what they're trying to do is fix that issue. But most oftentimes, all those protective personalities is not the issue. You're never going to win the battle if all you're doing is looking at the fruit. That's just a fruit of a bigger tree. The key to winning a battle, the key to taking down giants. Listen, if you're going to take giants down out there, you're going to have to allow God to take them down in here. And oftentimes we don't see what it is we're dealing. So we need a map. A map is good because it lets you see the whole, not the part. If all you're trying to do is fix parts of you, they'll never get fixed because as soon as you get one part fixed, the tree will regrow. That's why you see people getting delivered all the time. The tree keeps regrowing because they don't ever get to the root. Chuck and Anna, they're both very advanced sozo ministers, and Chuck was telling me the other day, he goes, listen, when he's dealing in sozo, oftentimes there'll be manifestations of these controlling mechanisms because fear will send them out. Because fear, number one operation is to hide. That's why you never know what's there. You never really associate fear with these things, but fear is the strong man. And until you get rolled back down into the fear, you're not going to get the root. If we can get fear flushed out, you're going to see freedom and liberty. And so when dealing with situations and everyone, and oftentimes when all this happens, you have offense. Because it comes with, a lot of times, our betrayal, or trauma, offense is there. Unforgiveness is there. Resentment's there. And that, those personalities are just there to lock it all in. When you have an offense, when you have unforgiveness, it locks the whole thing down. You can't get free. The Bible even says, if you cannot forgive man their trespasses, God cannot forgive you. He's not talking about salvation there. He's talking about you're in a state of unforgiveness with God and you're not going to receive heaven's help in any situation while offense and trespass is present. So when offense and trespass is designed to take the pain, take the trauma, take the rejection and lock it down. And once it's there, if it's not properly dealt with, oftentimes the spirit will come in of trespass and locks the whole thing in. And that's how the enemy works. Not only does he like to put it there, he likes to lock it there. So whenever you're dealing with things, you never can get it unlocked. You have to see how it all works together. That's why I said you got to get a map. One day on and I were talking, I said, let me draw a map of how this stuff works. Because I've been through so much of it myself, you don't need to take 30 years of your walk with God to overcome this. But what you do need to do is see how the kingdom of darkness works. If you see how it works, you deal with all of it as a whole, not as a part. And that's what I want to teach you today. How to deal, that's my review. So what you got to do is deal with it as a whole. How do I deal as a whole? That's what I want to get into today. These are things God has taught us over time. They're very effective. They're very powerful. And although you may have overcome, you can help other people overcome very quickly if you can help them see what it is they're dealing with. So, say step one. I'm going to get the seven steps today. I'm not going to get into the ascension part today. I was dealing with it in parts. I wish I had learned how to deal with it as a whole. It would not have taken me so long. The reason why you want to deal with it as a whole, because you want to break legal right of the enemy. You gotta break his legal right to be there. You have to address why he's there. The curse causeless will not come. If he's there, if he's continuous there, there's a problem. That problem has to be addressed. If it doesn't get addressed, it will stay there. You don't want to deal with the fruit, you want to deal with the whole tree. And to do that, you're gonna have to employ the weaponry of your warfare. It's not carnal. Do not try to fix this stuff with means of carnality or worldly means. It's not going to get it. These things you're dealing with are not carnal. Oftentimes there are spirits involved here. They build the house over long periods of time. A lot of the behavior patterns associated with it come because of what's been built. It's very familiar. It's hard to see. It's just a part of you. I mean, in my defensive days, to try to tell me I was defensive is crazy. Because I had spirits standing there and they were defender personalities. And if you approach these defender personalities, you'd get a mouthful. Because it was very skilled, because you weren't just dealing with me, you're dealing with the spirit there. And the spirit was very skilled at deflection. And that spirit was so good at deflection that it was so advanced, they would make you feel like you're the one with the problem by the time we're done. So Anna got me involved. This is Anna's fault. With this Netflix show with Love is Blind, but I got involved and there was this lady. Anna called her an emotional vampire. She could suck the life out of the TV. I mean, just watching her wore me out. I'm like, I can only take so much. They would choose these people behind the walls, never seeing them. They had to fall in love with just talking to them. Each of them would be betraying a wall, and then they would talk to multiple people, and whoever they fell in love with, they could actually propose to them beyond the wall until they saw them. And then when they come out, they go and start having dates together. And this lady, I think her name was Chelsea. Anyway, she was a handful. And whenever he would try to say something to her, she was so deflective in her personality. It made him feel like a dirty dog even for saying something. And she was definitely in the wrong. You could see that. But that was all personality disorders. These things don't get built overnight. They're built over time. Most of the time they're built from childhood experience. These behavior patterns start building. So does the wall. So does the deflection. Whether you're hiding as an introvert or whether you're controlling as an extrovert, many narcissists will go into the controlling. Underneath it all is the frailty of fear. Always. And until you get that one, you're not going to get the house to come down. And you'll never see someone get completely free. So number one, see and recognize the true enemy. You have to see the whole picture. Don't deal with the enemy in part. Deal with him as the whole. Jesus spoke about sycamine trees. He says, yeah, faith is a mustard seed. You could say that it's sycamine tree. Very deep taproot. Plucked up. Or you could see it as a house. When a spirit's gone out of a man, he comes back to the house because he builds a house according to its particular nature. Sometimes they'll build houses. It's not always the demons involved. Norval Hayes used to say, they ask him, do you see a demon behind every bush? He goes, no, I see two demons behind every bush. It's not always even, I don't want you to become demonically conscious. We are glory conscious in this church. I've seen demonic conscious people, and if you're demonically conscious, always looking for something, you're going to find it. But if it's there, the fruit is there. If you're dealing with continuous issues or you see that kind of thing, you have to realize you're dealing with a house that's been built for a long time. If you're building with a house that's been built for a long time, you got to deal with it as a whole. See it as a tree, see it as a house, see it as a map, but see it. Everyone see it. First, number one, getting someone to see their issue. That's like an act of God. Most people can see everybody else's issues. They don't want to look at their own. It's hard to see your own stuff. It takes humility to want to look at this stuff. That's why most people like in leadership don't want to look at anything, because people in leadership don't think anything's wrong with them because they're here to fix everybody's problems. It's kind of a hard thing when you got someone trying to fix people's problems who've got more problems than the one they're trying to fix. Number two. Okay, now we're going to get into the throne of grace. This is when to go boldly to the throne of grace. We need to get out of your environment, get in God's environment. All this needs to be done at the throne of grace. Even the Lord's Prayer, he said, when you pray, enter into your closet. That's not the one with the shoes in it. Shut the door. Find your secret place in God. Shut the door. Get in the presence of God, then pray. It's interesting, at the end of the Lord's Prayer, he began to say, forgive man's trespasses. That's an operation that should be done in the presence of the Lord, not just here. You need to get in the jurisdiction of God. You're going to get more done if you get in his jurisdiction. You've got to find your secret place. You got to know that when you're in the middle of all this situation and circumstance, and start praying, throwing prayers up to God. At this church, you should have learned that already. You got to learn how to get through that door up there. You got to get to the throne of grace. It's not a natural place. It's a spiritual place. Amen. First thing we want to do, surrender, release. And begin the process of forgiveness. Forgiveness sometimes takes time, depending on who and what you're dealing with. First thing you do is surrender your will. Now, people that are involved in this equation, you're not going to get all this fixed at one time. But what you need to do is surrender the person involved. Give them to the Lord at this stage. They might be the originator of the problem, but they're not going to be the fixer of the problem. And if you are bound or tied to them, you're not going to get anywhere past stage two. You've got to release them, even if you're in pain. If you're in pain, tell the Lord you're in pain. This is the time to be raw. This is the time to be truthful. God desires truth in the inward part. So when you're there, somebody's hurt you, somebody's done you wrong, tell the Lord, I'm hurt. I'm hurt. If you're angry, say it. Just say, Lord, I'm angry, I'm hurt, I've been betrayed. I can't fix this on my own. I surrender them to you. You got to get them released enough to where it's you and God now, not you, God, and the other person. Even though spirits will come in, they're going to bind that trespass. While you're doing this, a lot of times you're going to feel that person. You're going to feel the pain. You got to get them disassociated from the actual pain. The pain you're feeling at this point is revolves around the hurt, the wound, the betrayal, the trespass, whatever the case. Get them released. Sometimes it's a process. You're going to have to do it more than one time. Every time you come in, the first thing you want to do is surrender them to the Lord and say, Lord, ultimately, this is about my heart being free. I release them. I loose them. You loose, you begin in power to bind power loose, so loose it. Sometimes you got to get a little authoritative. I loose them. You got to get them detached from the problem. Because then you got to deal, it's you, the Lord, and this house, or this tree. This tree is not just spirits. It's strongholds. Stronghold, here's a good definition. Systems of thoughts, empowered by emotions, that resist or try to exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ in you, to you, and through you. Systems of thoughts, empowered by emotions, that exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ in you, to you, and through you. These are strongholds. They get built over time. Depending on how long it's been there, how deep it is, these strongholds are there. Sometimes spirits associated, sometimes you're just dealing with behavior patterns. Regardless, in the deal with the house, surrender the person. That's step two, say surrender. Now, step three, acknowledge and repent. Repent! Say acknowledge and repent of the entire tree, map, house. See it, the whole thing, and begin to ask forgiveness. Not just for the behavior patterns you see, you've operated in, but the stuff's underneath. Go ahead and repent of it because it's there. That's why it's important to see it. What's motivating the behavior of your protectors? What's motivating that type of behavior? It's fear or trauma, rejection. All of that's associated with fear. So you want to ask forgiveness of allowing any and all of it to operate. Just go down through the mat. It doesn't take long, but you want the blood of Jesus over these areas. You want to break legal right. They have legal rights until they are acknowledged. When you acknowledge and repent, you're breaking legal right. Of not only what you're dealing with, my issues, I was always just dealing with the stuff I could see. Not the stuff I couldn't see. I didn't have a map. It took years for me to, I'm sure some of you could see this very easily. I couldn't. Because when you get layered up with a lot of issues, multiple layers, you don't always see what's really underneath. So if I could have, gotten through this a lot quicker. So if I acknowledge the whole and just representing it, Lord, I ask forgiveness for allowing these operations, these behavior patterns. And acknowledge what's happened and then acknowledge what's underneath. Acknowledge the trauma. Acknowledge, you don't have to go through every event, just acknowledge what's happened. I mean, when you go through serious trauma, childhood trauma, I mean, it affects you. You just don't think it does. Your soul is locked in multiple situations and need to get free. I remember when Jesus appeared to Kevin Sadai, and Kevin Sadai had, I think I got it right, he had got lifted from his body, and Jesus was standing there, and actually legally died. And he's having a discourse, and his body's still laying on the table, but he's standing there with the Lord in the room. His spirit's standing. And when the Lord's talking to him personally before he sends it back in his body, and he told him, he goes, the problem is that right there. And there was this big black type vest around him. He said, the problem is the vest. He goes, that's your soul. That's what needs to be dealt with. That's what's keeping your spirit from coming forward. This stuff we're talking about needs to be loosed. Oftentimes when God gives you a gift, he'll bypass your stuff. Aren't you glad he does that? I mean, who would he use? I mean, for 20-something years of my life, he could have just put me on the sideline, but he used me with all this stuff. But ultimately, the gift realm, you see someone with a really awesome gift, but he's bypassing their issues and anointing them. People don't understand that. How can God do that? That's why it's a gift. Gift the calling God without repentance. But in the glory realm, he doesn't bypass you. In the glory realm, you are going to be dealt with. That's why when you're moving from the anointing in measure to the anointing without measure, you're dealing with God dealing with you now. God's going to deal with the stuff. God's going to deal with the issue. He's going to get up and he's going to find truth. It's going to get down in the inward parts where truth doesn't normally get. Truth's going to go up in down there where you're going to see truth. I see truth in areas I could never see it before. This is a map of truth right here. Now we're going to get into the Jordan. The Jordan, there's a lot of things happen in the Jordan. The Jordan is where the Lord legally died. The reason why he had John baptize him, because he's introducing a new covenant. And it would have been illegal for God to introduce a new covenant while they're under the old covenant. So legally, he had to die before he died. That's why he went in the Jordan. He didn't just get sprinkled with water. He was submerged. That Jordan was a submersion of death. And when he was raised, the Holy Spirit came upon him to introduce the new covenant. At that point, the Lord Jesus was legally bound to fulfill all things all the way to the cross. Because in legality, God legally, he died that day. He fulfilled it on the cross. But he was able now to introduce the new covenant. The Jordan is the place we die. Now on the cross, he ultimately died. But on the cross, the Bible says you, in Romans 6, we were buried with him in baptism. We were planted together with him in the likeness of his death. That's a good news. And crucified with him on Christ. Now, you have to understand when these scriptures are saying this, buried in baptism, he is separating what's of him and what's of Adam. So when you're being buried in baptism, your spirit is not the one dying. It did die one day and was raised from the dead. It died with Christ. But for the sake of this teaching, our daily walk with God, he is going to separate what's old and what's new. He's going to separate chaff from the wheat. He's going to separate the old wineskin from the new wineskin. He's going to separate what belongs to the enemy and what belongs to him. He is the separator. He's the only one that can do it. He has four tools to do this with. He has the winnowing fork in his hand, which separates chaff from the wheat. He has a two-edged sword that separates spirit, soul, and body. He has a skilled knife of circumcision. These are the fine-tuned operations when he's removing a trigger point in your life. Then he has something called the axe of light. The axe of light comes down on, thank you for your enthusiasm, but the axe of light comes down on the tree. Now he's really good at this. He doesn't just arbitrarily do this. He needs your will involved. He needs your walk involved. But if you start presenting this stuff to him on a daily basis, he'll take the opportunity to cut some things down so you don't have to live the next 40 years with him. But you gotta know how it works. All this is what's called the Jordan. We have it right up there. Jordan baptism. See, Jordan, surrender, buried with Christ, crucified. All we're doing is following the map. Into the door, throne of grace. Now, in the Jordan, it's not where you die. You need to understand it is where your old man dies. Now, I grew up in a camp that all we did is die all the time. It was a good thing. You know, you remember that we grew up, we die, mortification of the flesh. I mean, that's all we did. But in those days, we weren't separating who we were in Christ. It's very important to separate God in you from the old man. This is what Christ does. In other words, if you don't, then you're going to just, all your life is about you dying. Your spirit man's not meant to die. Your spirit man's meant to live. You have to have a balance of resurrection with the death. You got to separate what's old from that which is new. So when you're going down in the Jordan, when I'm talking about dying, I'm talking about him extracting old parts from you. Extracting old wineskin. Extracting old behavior patterns. Extracting the stronghold that's not of him. I'm not talking about anything that's new. Anything and everything he's built that's new doesn't belong to the Jordan. That's why he separates it. There's a balance in these things. If all you're going to do is walk around dying all the time, well, you're going to look like a dead person. You're going to act like a dead person, and there's no life in you. That's not what this is about. What this is about is getting the chains off, getting the old cords off, removing the fig leaves so the glory can be seen again. All things are open before the eyes of him to whom we have to do. Amen? So we're in the Jordan. It's important to understand that part. But it's also important to know you can do this by faith. It's so funny because when I preached this, Chuck and Anna had a resurgence of Sozos this week. Everybody wants to run to the Sozo. And you should. It's good. Get somebody to help you, but also understand ultimately you got to take accountability for these things and understand how this works. You're going to use your faith to put the old man down. Look at your neighbor and say, use faith to put the old man down. Now, all we're going to do is agree. Now, write this down, or if you're taking notes in your head. All we're going to do is agree with what's already been done. We're not going to do something new. We're just going to agree and enter into the frequency of what's already been done. Legally, you already died. Which is a good thing. Legally, everything going to be addressed in the Jordan has legally already been put down. Legally in the Jordan, the old man already died. He was already buried. He was already crucified. When you read the word, he's not going to crucify. He already crucified. Planted together in the likeness of his death. Always know that's talking about what is old. Amen? So, let's look. Step four. Present. You've already printed of it. Now we're in the Jordan. Now, when I'm in the Jordan, you'll hear me pray and you'll see me past the ankles, past the knees, past the loins. I'm walking out into that Jordan. You know, before the children of Israel went in the promised land, what happened? They went through the Jordan. They went through a baptism. And when they got on the other side, what God said to them? When they stood over the other side of the bank, he said, circumcise them again. When David retrieved the ark, and on their first retrieval, the ark began to shake. And what happened? Uzzah tried to steady it. I'll never forget, I was having my steadying of the ark moment. And I was calling Carlos. I'll never forget. He goes, Uzzah, Uzzah. I'm like, oh my, I'm not going to be able to argue with that because I was having my Uzzah moment. As you know, when he tried to steady the ark, as soon as he touched it, he died. Whenever you walk in the glory realm, certain things are going to die. Don't be trying to steady things. Do this by the way of the Spirit. So David left the ark at Obed-Edom's house. Obed-Edom came to talk of the town. He got so blessed. In those 3 months that they brought word to the king, said, Uzzah's house, I mean, not Uzzah, said, Obed-Edom's house is being blessed. So blessed that David said, all right, God. He got on his face because he was broken. He said, man, I wanted the ark. He was so excited. He wanted to bring that ark in and merge it with a crown. And when he did, whoo, lightning lightning, baby. The ark and the crown together are lightning. So when he brought it in, when he went to retrieve it, this time it was a different type of atmosphere, a little bit more respect for the glory realm. So what they do, they walk six paces and sacrificed. Walk six paces, sacrificed. That's a lot of sacrifice. Could you imagine? It's a trail of blood all the way through. Because every six paces they'd stop and sacrifice an animal. What's being sacrificed now is the old man. Walk six paces, sacrifice. Walk six paces, sacrifice. Walk six paces, sacrifice. I'm not living a sacrificial life to where I'm miserable all the time. That's not what we're talking about. We're going to present this old man. Present your body a living sacrifice. We're going to sacrifice this old man. We're going to take him in the Jordan daily. Die, the Bible says, I die daily. Take up your cross daily. This is how you do it. You take up the cross by taking this old man, recognizing what he is, and presenting him into the Jordan. Say, present him. So I'm presenting him. I'm presenting the old man for separation. I like to see the Jordan. Sometimes I call it the threshing floor. Though at the bottom of the Jordan, I like to see the Lord. He's in high priest garments now. He's got two-edged sword in his hand. He's got the winnowing fork. He's ready to sift the wheat. He's ready. I'm going to agree with him in this process. He's not coming to sift me. He's just coming to sift the old me. That's important to know. Don't let your new man get involved with the old. He separates it for the process. He's good at it if you'll do this every day. So when I'm there, I present the old things. If it's the old, present the map. Present this. We're not dealing with new things. We're not dealing with glory things right now. We're dealing with the old. I present the old man for the separation. I present the old man for the two-edged sword. Separate, Adam. Separate the old. Separate the stronghold. Protect your personalities. I present them, Lord, for the separation. I present fear for separation. I present every cord, every chain, every tie. People don't do this. That's why they're not free. Start doing this. God will get involved. Not only with your new man, with the death of your old. It's a good thing for the old man to die. He doesn't have to walk 50 years in the wilderness to die. You can do it in the Jordan in a very short time. He's really good at what he does. And he's got some very powerful tools. He has an axe. I present the whole tree for the axe of light to come down. Well, I don't have any problems. We're going to need the axe of light for you, praise God. So present for separation. Now we're going to break agreement. These things need your agreement. You've already removed their legal right when you repented. Now you're going to break agreement. Agreement. You start breaking agreement with behavior patterns. Break agreement with the personalities you've allowed, protector personalities, whether it be control or isolation. If you're in isolation, it's break agreement with always isolating. Living alone. Isolate, loner type personalities. This is the way you're dealing with pain, but you just break agreement. Lord, forgive me. I break agreement with operation. I break agreement with the systems of thoughts that are being utilized in this situation. You break agreement with defender personalities. It's hard to see if you're a defender that you're a defender. It's hard to see if you deny, deflect. Break agreement with deflection personalities. You've got to break the agreement or they'll remain. If they're there, not only is deflecting everybody else, they're deflecting God too. You're not going to get what you want from God till you get this stuff out of the way. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, it's just stuff. Look at your neighbor also that says, you're not perfect. And now everyone that you just said that to, say, I'm not perfect either. The original lie in the garden was, if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you'll be as God. Basically, you'll be perfect. And they found out real quick they weren't. Everybody wants to be perfect. Perfection comes from rejection. Rejection comes from fear. It all is intertwined. It needs the axe of light to come down. So as I present, I start breaking the agreement. I'll start, if I'm dealing with stuff, I'll break agreement. I break agreement with that system. I break agreement with that feeling. If it has your agreement, it has your words. If it has your words, it has the right to remain there. You have to break the agreement. You have to open your mouth and speak. People do not like doing this. They like to come into the Lord and lay down before the Lord. Those days are over. When you go before the Lord, you are in kingdom business. And the first order of kingdom business is deal with you. But not you, the real you, but deal with the old you. Get an agreement. He wants the old man down. Get an agreement with him. You want the old man down? I want the old man down. Everybody around me wants the old man down. Let's go. Understand, you ain't all that. This is a good time for ministers. Because we don't like to anybody believe we got all these issues, you know. It's a good time between me and you. Me and you, Lord. He's so loving. When he gets started, the Bible says the winnowing fork. I just got through with one of these. The winnowing fork is in his hand. He separates the chaff and burns it with unquenchable fire. On the threshing floor, he thoroughly purges his threshing floor, the Bible says. When he gets started on one of these, what will happen is you'll start doing this. You don't think nothing's happening. All of a sudden, he'll get enough of your will involved and get enough faith involved and get enough truth involved. He'll initiate a winnowing fork operation. This is, the Bible says, the winnowing fork's in hand. He will thoroughly purge his threshing floor. When he starts the winnowing fork, there is no stopping it, baby. A fire will erupt like a volcano inside of you. And when it starts erupting, you can't do anything, go anywhere except into the Jordan with him. There's no other place that's going to address it. That fire started burning up inside of me, and it wouldn't, when he burned this last thing down, he burned it to the ground, baby. But boy, it was painful. Because the fire would erupt inside of me, and I couldn't go anywhere with it. Except the only relief I could get is in the Jordan. If you've never been there before, it was a judgment seat moment, but these things will happen. I'm just telling you, nothing's wrong with you if this happens. Actually, he's judging something now that he will have to eventually judge in heaven if you don't deal with it. Everybody will go through this at the judgment seat of Christ. It's better if he gets now, because then you get rewarded for overcoming. If he don't get it now at the judgment seat of Christ, everybody will go through this. If you want to understand how that works, Rick Joyner wrote an amazing book called The Final Quest. But in dealing with this, when that volcano started coming, all I could do was just stand before him. And as soon as I started acknowledging the widow and fork would commence, there was repentance. There is a repentance that's initiated by you. It's a good thing. There's one that's initiated by the Spirit of God. It's so thorough. It's so deep. He won't quit till he gets what he's after. He just went down. I asked him, will this ever end? Believe me, you asked him. I said, please stop this. And he would not until he got it. When he got it, peace came. Oh, love came. Change came. Transformation came. He brought down the lion, the bear, and everything else that was there. That was good. And when he does, you'll be free enough to talk about it because you won't. You're free. When you're free, freedom comes with an authenticity. Freedom comes with transparency. When you see someone transparent, there are people that are transparent that just tell you everything. That don't mean they're free. But a true freedom will have transparency. It's not afraid because it's not hiding anymore. That doesn't mean you go tell everybody all your stuff. But people can relate to transparency. They can relate when someone gets free. Amen? So, break agreement. Now, here we go. Here is, these steps right here are the most powerful steps. Step 6 and 7. Now, I do it every day. During the times when he's initiating the transformation, to say decree the separation. I've broken agreement, by way of the winnowing fork, by way of the two-edged sword. I decree the separation of this sycamine tree. I decree the separation of every cord, chain, and tie that is bound. I decree you be loose this day, and you return no more. All your scriptures are like, God has made an utter end of this affliction. You will rise no more. I decree you be loosed. I decree the axe of light has come down from you. You've got to get authoritative at times. You're dealing with more than just issues. You're dealing with things that have been there a long time. Often spirits are involved. They want to lay hold, and you've got to force them out now. I break this chain. I break this cord. I break this. When you're dealing with things in the spirit like this, you won't have to deal with it in the natural, and neither will everybody around you. Because God will separate. I decree this chaff be separate. I decree, I like sometimes see this old wineskin. I decree be separated from me. Remember, I am not dealing with the real me. I'm dealing with the old me. We got to get the old out of the way if we're going to get the glory in. I decree be separated. Sometime I'd stand up. Man, I move in from gentle mode to authoritative mode because you're dealing with things by faith now in agreement. Probably everybody taught it to you this way, but I'm telling you, you do this, you'll start seeing freedom and you'll start seeing it fast. I decree. Now the final step, step number 7, we're going to bury the old man. Now, when I'm in the Jordan, I get visual. God gets visual with me. When I'm in these places, I see, but I don't see with the mind. I see with the imagery, the word is produced. I'll see down in the Jordan, I'll see like a coffin or something. One time I saw the whole Jordan open up. This last experience, it just opened and he was hanging on a tree. I don't explain that. And my old man was hanging there, and I was there, and he said, you're going to have to step down now. And I knew what he understood, but my old man was being crucified with him, but my new man had to step away. He says, where I'm taking this, you can't go. There's only so far you're going to go. Sometime I saw a coffin, and I see the old man laying down. Catherine Kuhlman talked about, before that anointing came upon her, 1,000 deaths I died, but there was one she talked about where the old man died. He was going to rise no more. There's a time, and I'll see a coffin. You lay that thing down. You've broken agreement. You see it, and you lay down, old man. You will rise no more. God has made an utter end of the affliction. This day you're buried, and you shut that thing. And decree, you will remain here. I will rise. You will not. You've got to get serious. I know this is not church 101. We're not talking about kindergarten Christianity here. We're talking about how to overcome. We're truly overcome. I know this might make some people a little squirm, but hey, we got to get over that. It's time to grow up. But I'll say, God's made a utter, you have been crucified this day, buried. I see that old man buried into that grave. The old man planted together in the likeness of his death. I'm always seeing it as the old, not the true me. That is important. You get that separation. Because he's not going to bury you. You belong to him. You belong to glory. You belong to joy. You belong to peace. You belong to love. You belong to life. You belong at the right hand of God. But in these things, when you hear us do this on Tuesday, we're going through this. I'm seeing all this. I'm there. I'm not floating off somewhere. I am focused on getting this old man to come down because I've seen him stand in the way too many times. Regardless, the old man is standing in the way of the glory that is to come. We gotta get him out of the way. Amen? So when we put that thing down, you bury him. Sometime I'll see like this old coat of mail like they used to wear, taking off this old overcoat. Lay down, old man. You have authority. The Bible says, sin, You should read Romans 6. Has no dominion over you. Sin lost his dominion. The old man lost his dominion. If you want to overcome, you got to start speaking. The old man doesn't like to be discovered. The real old man likes to hide. Hide, hide away. Once you bury that man, now you're ready to ascend. Now, when doing this, you're not always going to feel freedom the first time. So you're going to have to learn how to do this. It's an acquired experience. It's acquired learning, but boy, you can take some giants down, the ones inside. You get the ones inside down, these out here are not near the problem as the ones inside. Once the giants come down, you'll see the new day. Now we're ready to rise. Now we're ready to come out. Oh, dear Lord, get us out of the Jordan. I don't like the Jordan, but I have seen more change. I have seen more transformation. There is a realm that the glory will transform you, but the Jordan is what gets rid of the old. Our new man's designed to go from glory to glory. Our old man's not designed to take that ride. If you want to go to glory, you're going to have to get the old man out. He takes the new man from glory to glory. He does not take your old. Every time he's going to take you to a new level, something's going to have to go. Amen? Everything you're believing him for, something has to go. So now we rise. Take the wings of the eagle, the exceeding greatness of the power of the Christward to usward who believe, according to the working of that mighty power who raised him from the dead. We rise with you into the throne of glory. We come. The new man rises. The old man has been undone. You see that? Now, next service, I'll take you to the next level of what to do in the glory realm and the courtrooms of heaven. All these things work in synergy together. It's an amazing thing. You can learn to do this every day. Now, I'm going to take this last Father's House 5. I'm going to share with you what really can supercharge this. These are things I've learned. This part right here is by far my opinion. What makes this happen more than anything is when you learn to stand in the finished position. Before you ever arrive, you can stand in something that's already been completed. If you can locate what God has said about you in your finality, if you can locate what God has done for you beyond where you stand now, if you can see it, and learn how to stand in it by faith. I'm going to teach you something that causes more transformation than anything else. Because the Lord told me when I was in this, he goes, what caused this ultimately is where you're standing with me. Now, what I'm about to say to you, this is an operation God's been training us in the last 2 or 3 years. It's the most powerful operation to date that I believe, my opinion. It's the face of God. And when people see the face of God, the first thing they say, I want to worship God. I want to go before your face and worship. And there's an operation there, but that's not what I'm talking about. The face of God is the place that you go beyond time. You don't have to go do time travel to stand in the face of God. Don't look for God to snatch you out of your body and go put you somewhere in the future, because that hasn't even happened to me once yet. But you can encounter the future without having to be snatched out of your body. The way you do it is identify what God has said about you. What has God said about you in your future position? You'll be amazed at how many things God has spoken. And when you understand and start listening to the face of God, you'll start seeing it. Your spirit will get in the frequency. Oh, I'm complete in him. Really? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. How about this? I'm forever perfected in righteousness. Is anybody in this room right now literally forever perfected in righteousness beside Anna? And Kim? And Sharon, of course. And Yoski. I mean, all the ladies. I mean, all you. Is there anybody else forever truly perfected? Because perfected in righteousness means the righteousness of the law is completely filled in you. Even Paul, who kept the law blameless, in his own account, when he saw the righteousness of Christ, he said, my righteousness is but dung, because he was standing in it in the Tullian keep. He was in the sewer system of Rome. Now you get the picture. That's where he wrote the book of Philippians, in the sewer system of Rome. They chained him in the sewer system. Anybody want to be an apostle? He goes, it's all but dung. When I behold his righteousness, all my works are nothing. Because I don't care how perfect Mary Poppins you are, you never can obtain what he's already given. But he says you're forever perfected in righteousness. He says, you're the righteousness of God in Christ. You mean I can stand in that place? Yes, if you learn how to stand there. In fact, the courtroom of heaven requires you to stand there. Because you're not standing in yourself. You're standing in a finished position. Man, if I can stand every day in a finished position, then he taught me how to stand in the life. When he started teaching me about the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, that wasn't just for you to see my glory. That's you. That's what everyone's going to look like in their resurrection. I stepped in to my own resurrection. I stepped into yours. That's why the Father came down on the earth and said, how? This is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased. Man has been redeemed. This is the new image. This is the new Adam. This is the finality. Look and behold, this is what you're going to look like when your body passes from death to life. When your soul, your mind suddenly transformed into life. Suddenly you're made of life, light, glory, and grace. That is me. Woo! The Bible says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Changed in the same image. What glory are you looking at? So there's a way. By faith, we do it every Tuesday. We'll show you how to do it. To walk out. I don't just go from earth to transfiguration glory. We go to Jordan. We go to righteousness. We go to the Father. We're loved. But then we're going to walk out. If you get this part, you are miles ahead. You're talking about Enoch stuff. This is Enoch stuff. You're walking out into your next day. You've got an image. Meditate like Dave Roberson. You say, meditate till my meditator fell on the ground. Meditate the Mount of Transfiguration. Couple more minutes. Before the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, there'll be some standing here among you. You're not going to taste death. Do you see this Son of Man coming in his kingdom? He was speaking to Peter, James, and John. 6 days later, he takes them to the Mount of Transfiguration. They go into the glory. Moses and Elijah are there. They're all in the glory. They go somewhere. They're not just in a mountain. God translates them because Peter starts writing about his experience and he goes, when we made known to you the second coming of the Lord. Second coming hadn't happened yet. We weren't telling you a wise fable. We were eyewitnesses of majestic glory. We saw him in his second coming. We saw him in his glory. They saw a day beyond our day, which means that mountain walked right past our day. And it's over here where Rocky's at. You are in a good city. It's over here, Tina. Tina. Whoo, she doesn't sit in the glory realm. The Mount of Transfiguration's over here. You're over there. But this is a completed realm. And they're standing in light and glory and they're caught up in it. A realm that you and I are ultimately in a moment's time are going to be transformed. This body is going to give way. And death is going to get swallowed up in a single moment. Death in the body. Death in the soul. Dysfunction's gone. Hallelujah. Joy and peace and life's going to govern her heart, mind, and emotions. A wellspring of glory is going to go bam inside of you. And it's going to spring up for eternity. That's a little bit more than unsaved by grace. Life bursting out continuously is going to light you up. Your body, your clothing, you're going to walk around in a glorified light. Arise, shine, thy light has come. This is the hope of the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. I'll show you. He walked right in and he manifested his own resurrection. That's a finished work. When you see us doing that Tuesday, we're not just doing that. We're stepping out beyond time. We're going to the finish line, standing in there As you are, so am I. As you've been glorified. Well, you are in a good spot today, right? So am I. I want life that swallows up death. There's a generation that's going to overcome death. Paul saw it. He tried to get people to go, let's go to the perfection. The last generation, the last end time church, there's a remnant that's going to overcome death. It doesn't mean we're going to walk around glorified 24 hours a day, but we're going to be able to access. And we're going to bring some of that glory. Isaiah said it'll be seen upon the temples, upon the bodies. We're going to come out of the glory, shining. And light and glory is going to emanate out. And everybody in the vicinity will be immediately healed. Because Christ will stand up. The Bible says he'll turn your fountain into a standing fountain of water. He's going to turn the rock inside of you into a standing fountain of water. So I said that to say this. Y'all let me go to the next level. I appreciate that. When you stand over here long enough and keep standing here, what's going to happen is faith's going to catch up. And God himself, because this is who I am, that's not who I am, is going to call you where you are. No matter what condition you are in, this is what I try to do. This is the supercharger. He's going to call you. Sorry, guys, you're on the wrong side of the church, but it's okay. He's going to call you where you are, and he's command them forward. And it doesn't matter what chain's holding you down. By way of the winnowing fork, threshing floor, he's going to move you by his hand. Because you are standing with him. And it's calling you to follow now. Goodness is going to follow you. Transformation's following you. Because that's not where you're at anymore. God said, they're not there. They're over here with me. Call them to where they're at. And suddenly he orders transformation. Whoo! You're talking about a supercharged Christianity that's going to start transforming us the way we need to be transformed. Glory to glory, fast. The Lord said, I'm going to pick it up. As people learn to stand in the life, I'm going to accelerate time. I'm going to accelerate transformation. I'm going to take babes and turn them to full-grown heirs within a short period of time. I'm going to accelerate wisdom. I'm going to accelerate transformation. The more the life gets in you, life that eradicates death. Woo! Let's give God glory. What I just said to you, if you have ears to hear that, I'm telling you, it's a supercharger beyond supercharger. It's what's going to get the job done. I believe with all my heart, the face of God's going to get the job done. It's going to bring in a level of glory we've not seen.